standard open. What the hell is a standard open involve?
Welcome to Highly Questionable. I'm Dan Lebitard. Pablo Torre is one of the guests I have to introduce. Mina Kimes is the other. Let's get started with our standard open.
How much praise should we heap on Mina Seahawks for slowing down Kyler Murray and his gimpy shoulder?
I don't know how much of the audience knows this part of Mina's fandom. Pablo, have you ever watched a Seahawks game with Mina Kimes? Is that an experience that you've had in your life?
I've avoided it deliberately because I know via others what that's like, and it does not sound fun for anybody else.
No, she sounds like an insane person, just a bundle of nerves and wrecks. And Russell Wilson last night did what I've become accustomed to Russell Wilson doing, which is he always plays these close games. The aberration is when he has these three interception games, and you will know at the end of this nerve-wracking season for a woman who is broken by this team on occasion, especially because it doesn't have a pass rush, but it did have one last night, that they will be playing games late into the season where Russell Wilson will be playing a close game, throwing into your end zone, no matter whether it's the first round, the second round, the last round of the playoffs, because that's what he does. It's why he hasn't yet given this throne to Kyler Murray, who would like to take it from him.
First of all, neither of you are ever going to watch a Seahawks game with me because I would prefer for you to not lose professional respect for me. Also just respect, period, honestly. And like maybe friendship. I don't want to alienate that and ruin our relationship.
My ears would hurt too, I think. Yeah.
As far as the actual, yeah. I mean, should I tell this story? No, you know what? I'm not going
to. We're already here.
We're here now. Wait, tell the story. Tell the story.
I may have once thrown a chair in the ESPN war room in the presence of dozens of reporters and been asked to leave during a Seahawks game 3 years ago. It maybe happened and maybe didn't. Anyways, back to the actual matter at hand. So the weirdest thing about last week with Seattle was not that Russell Wilson threw multiple interceptions, which was, yes, very upsetting. It was that the Seahawks defense actually played pretty well against the Rams. Everyone just ignored that because of Russell Wilson. So I wasn't completely surprised that they looked a little bit better last night. The first time they played Kyler Murray, zero sacks, zero hits. Last night, three sacks, eight hits. Yes, some of it was because he was, you know, a little bit hobbled, but I feel the same way about the Seahawks defense that I imagine non-Korean parents feel about C students when they get a B+, which is, good job, guys. Just be above average. That is all we need out of you.
So the two most embarrassing things Mina did just then, number one, referred to wherever they watch football games in Bristol as the war room. Because, yeah, I'm sure it really rises to the level of national security. Number two, you just diminished the fact that Carlos Dunlap, the guy the Seahawks acquired to stop Kyler Murray, landed on Kyler Murray on the second drive of the game, injuring his right throwing shoulder. And everything from there kind of makes sense. It was a close game. Seattle's defense, all the credit in the world for that. But the fact that the guy, Dan, who leads the NFL in yards per carry, is the most threatening quarterback we've seen this season, only ran the ball five times, right? When the Cardinals get less than 30 yards rushing from Kyler Murray, they are 1-8-1. So the fact that this is one of those eight kind of makes sense when the guy who is extraordinarily multiple, as tape grinders like to say, was entirely one-dimensional.
Mina, what he says about your team is right. It is only a pass rush away from being able to beat anybody, right? And Dunlap gave them something last night. That's what you trade for, some pass rush.
Yes, the pass rush looked decent, and that doesn't have anything to do with Kyler Murray's shoulder. They were in the backfield. And I'd also like to amend my previous statement. I didn't actually throw the chair. It was more like this.
Uh-oh, here we go. Here we go. Who saw this? Okay.
Just who
saw that?
Michael Jr. did, and honestly, he brings it up all the time and might be traumatized by it.
Which quarterback would you rather have this weekend? Lamar Jackson or Ryan Tannehill?
Okay, we've got an interesting situation here because Tannehill has not been the same quarterback. As soon as he lost his left tackle, he was not the same quarterback. And Lamar Jackson hasn't been the MVP, at least in part, because there are a lot of pieces around him that are different, aren't the same. Sometimes when you lose a really important offensive lineman, it affects the offensive play. But I do think that the questions around Lamar Jackson are fair, given that the expectations have gotten into a place where you're the most valuable player in the league after a six-time executive of the year said you couldn't play the position. Are you going to elevate your football team because you're the most valuable player in the league? He can do that with just about anybody. They're still very good because they're doing it with just about anybody. But Lamar Jackson is a quarterback who has to be MVP good. Ryan Tannehill merely has to be a quarterback who wins for that team.
I love the NFL because this is a plausible question. What we are debating, would you rather have Lamar Jackson, the guy we just said like months ago was changing the paradigm of football? Would you rather have that guy or Ryan Tannehill? Like, that is like debating. Would you rather have, I don't know, LeBron James or Fred Van Vliet? Except in this case, it's a totally valid conversation because, Dan, what they do against the Ravens this season, playing man coverage more than they ever have, daring them to run the ball in ways that they were terrified to last season, all of that makes the Ravens, which held the ball more than any team we've ever seen before, right? Time of possession was the key to so many of their wins last season. They're just mediocre. They're middling right now. And the fact that Lamar Jackson tells Rich Eisen, defenders know what we're about to do before we do it. Mina, I don't know how you fix all of that in the present tense.
Sorry, I'm still thinking about Fred Van Vliet just watching this show somewhere and being like, what the heck, guys? Like,
what did I do?
What did I do to merit the comparison to LeBron?
Contract
I'm pretty good.
Up.
I'm a solid.
He's very good.
Much like Ryan Tannehill, I guess. So the actual question was, who would you rather have this weekend? And that's important because football is a game of matchups. That's my NFL Live voice for you. But it's so true, right? So Ryan Tannehill has better weapons than Lamar Jackson, and I believe a better play caller in Arthur Smith. He is missing the left tackle, Taylor Lewan. That's made a big difference. Lamar Jackson, meanwhile, lost his two best offensive linemen and really is lacking in the weapons department and, I believe, has struggled because of the play calling. However, the Ravens' defense is much better than the Titans' defense, and that's why I'd rather have Lamar Jackson in this game because he gets to play the worst defense, which is why I think Baltimore is going to win.
Are the Saints making the right call by starting Taysom Hill over Jameis?
All right, people in the audience, I want you to look at the face of Mina Kimes right now and drink it in because she is so very excited about this story. I don't think that in the history of football you could get a more interesting storyline around the backup quarterbacks where we're surprised, legitimately surprised, that the Saints have gone with a guy who hasn't done anything as a quarterback instead of a guy who just threw for 5,000 yards. And I do believe that perhaps it is okay to say that Sean Payton might know something that the rest of us don't. Invested in this particular week against Atlanta with a running game that's hurting, maybe he thinks that Taysom Hill for this game is a better alternative. But Jameis Winston, I think we could all say, has a resume that would be better in this circumstance and more trusted, except for those interceptions. I don't know if he can cure that. It's the greatest indictment of Jameis Winston. It's why he's Jameis Winston. That team will not abide turnovers.
So in some ways, this shouldn't be surprising at all. The Saints paid Taysom Hill $21 million to be their backup quarterback. Sean Payton talks about this man like he is blurbing a movie that no one else thinks is good, right? It's like one of those like out of context quotes. This is the Christmas feel-good movie of the season. But on the other hand, they had the opportunity to start him last season six times, and they didn't. They went with Teddy Bridgewater. They had the opportunity last week, and they didn't. That, guys, is why people are surprised, because they have passed on Taysom Hill over and over. They have passed on him more times, almost as many times as he has passed in the NFL. So I can't tell. I really, truly can't tell if Peyton is serious here. I think Dan is onto something, that it might just be about this particular game, but he also might be trolling, because Sean Payton is the closest thing we have in the NFL to a real troll. He actually trolled a Falcons fan once on Twitter. Look at this. An NFL coach made a 28-3 joke on
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Yes.
Amazing. So I don't know. I'll believe it when I see it, and I'll leave it at that.
I do agree that the only reason to think that there is not some smokescreen element here is that it's the Falcons, and the Falcons are not worthy of all of this attention. But the mere fact that this is a thing that gets people so agitated is amazing to me, right? Because Jameis Winston has 11 pick sixes in his career. So for those who are not counting and keeping track of these numbers we've thrown at you so far, that is one more than the number of completions Taysom Hill has in his whole career, right? So the mere fact that anyone can feel like anything approaching righteous indignation about Jameis Winston is kind of amazing to me. So really the question is, do you believe that Sean Payton is in fact this offensive wizard, that he has a plan coming up, that he is a genius? Because to me, as much as Jameis Winston is the red zone channel in one person, as much as he is the guy who always plays as if, as I always say, he has both himself and the opposing defense on his fantasy team, right? If you believe that Sean Payton knows what he's doing, I assume he has something planned that we just don't understand.
But this isn't about Jameis Winston. Like, the level of outrage and excitement and, for me, titillation. Like, I really cannot wait for this game. It's about Taysom Hill. The man is an obsession for Twitter. He's an obsession for football fans everywhere. He is the guy where every time Sean Payton puts him in and substitutes him for Drew Brees on a snap, people go crazy. He's the ultimate, no, you did the baby? No, yeah, oh, okay, that worked. Player. Like, he drives people bananas. Everything about him is perfectly primed to outrage America, and I can't wait for this game.
Coming up next on my Soul Stevie show.
I also had a million jokes that now feel inadequate because of your weird dark turn.
Yeah, I did ruin
it. Can I make them anyways?
Do you question who had the right of way?
Okay, this is the video we've been waiting for. Who had the right of way here? That's the important question.
Oh, wow.
I think that is aggressive, an aggressive animal here, no matter how cute and wonderful it is.
What an unnecessary swerve.
Does he have like a quilt on him, like a beautiful multicolored quilt on his back also?
That is a personal foul.
Can you imagine just like having to explain to someone else how your spleen exploded and they're like, oh my God, that sounds terrible. Are you okay? What happened? And you're like, yeah, I was on my bike and a pony truck sticked me into a garbage can.
I think that was a miniature horse. Like, I think one time Joey Porter's dog, a pit bull, got out of his garage and killed a neighbor's horse, a beautiful horse like that one. I think that's a thing that happened.
Well, now I have a lot less sympathy for that horse.
Yeah, it took a dark turn there. I'm sorry.
I also had a million jokes that now feel inadequate because of your weird dark turn.
Yeah. I did ruin it.
Can I make them anyways?
Yes, go ahead. Let's hear all of them, one after another.
But leave in the pleading request, please,
More
joke making.
Leave all of this in. Go ahead and make the joke.
I mean,
Paula, you and me will react with surprise. Let's go. Ready?
You could say he was jockeying for a position.
That's what we pause the show to do.
Really? Do you have more? Yeah. Are there more in that library? Please, go ahead.
Someone could have asked him to rein it in.
It's just bad puns, Mina, is all you're going to do? You're going to do bad?
I mean, I like a pun. That's just, those are lazy puns. Those
are just lazy. Jockey for position bar. All right, here's another one. Horse was a little unstable. Also, we just zoom past personal foul?
No, we didn't zoom past it. You said it with such a flourish. It's such a ridiculous flourish. You were so proud of yourself. It was totally absurd. I still don't
understand why personal foul is something that you needed to circle and highlight. Is there an entendre there? That
foul is a horse!
A foal? A foal, not a Mina.
Look at Mina. What I'm saddled with here.
No, wait. You thought that a horse, like a baby horse, is a foul? It's a foal?
It's a chicken.
What, a foul is, did you get your B+ in horses?
Kiki, do you love me? Are you riding? Say you'll never ever leave me from beside me, cause I want you and I need you. I'm down for you always. Kiki, do you love me? Are you riding? Say you will never ever leave me from beside me, cause I want you and I need you. I'm down for you always.
Streaming online, The Pack.
Okay, what is this about? The Pack, all right? It's not the Packers, right?
Dogs.
The,
what, please be
the
dogs.
Pack of what?
He's yes! My everything.
I would yes! be really happy with her.
I'm more happy and cheerful when I have him with me.
We're going to take 12 dogs and their partners. They'll travel to beautiful countries and compete in epic challenges. Right, Luce?
Bye!
They're behind us. They're behind us. This way, guys. Come on.
Go, 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 go.
This is just a life that I thought I'd never have, especially with a dog by my side.
Oh, there we go. Good job.
He's my best friend in the whole world. This dog loves me no matter what.
I need to win today.
She's not a winner or a loser. She's top dog in my book.
I was like, my boy, I'm so proud of you.
Yeah! We did it! No!
She's top dog in my book.
Is Mina
not enough
crying?
I'm not crying.
Are you crying? You're crying.
What is
What's the
happening?
Matter with you? What the Con of Mammals is happening. Pablo, are you intrigued?
I mean, no, for the Con of Mammals that you aforementioned. Also, because it's called The Pack, I feel like whatever the plural for a bunch of wolves is should not be the same term for a bunch of the dogs we just saw there. That is incredibly insulting to wolves.
To wolves, it is. Amina, are you crying? Are you indeed crying?
I'm not crying. I'm covering my face for reasons that have nothing to do with moisture possibly causing my eyelashes to fall out.
On Sunday Night Football, Chiefs and Raiders.
All right, that was unnecessary. I didn't need to hear from the constipated producer that way. The Raiders and Chiefs is an interesting game, though, because the last time they played, the Raiders beat them and beat them their way. Big plays, exciting plays. And after the game, John Gruden and his team, they took a victory lap in the bus around the stadium at Arrowhead. And let's hear John Gruden here explain why he did that.
Today, Andrew Reid mentioned a couple times the victory lap you guys took in KC after the first game. What exactly was the victory lap? And is that something that you think about this week as far as bulletin board material or anything like that?
Not really. I mean, you can find a smart aleck bus driver in Kansas City who made some snide comments when we got on the bus. Maybe that's why we drove around the stadiums to tick him off. You know, this is ridiculous. Next question.
I mean, that was very aggressive. Everyone's very mad. It seems like a funnier story than that. Pablo, are you intrigued?
I am intrigued because Max Crosby, the defensive end on the Raiders, was on the bus and didn't know that there was a victory lap taking place because, I want to make this clear, they were on a bus. Can you take a victory lap inside of a bus, just like doing a circle around a building? None of that feels particularly victorious, even if it is technically a lap.
Mina, how about you? You intrigued?
I'm intrigued by the game and also by the story. So Gruden is insinuating that they circled the stadium not to taunt the Chiefs or celebrate their victory, but to punish the bus driver by making him drive more, which is his job. Potentially he's paid by the hours. He was like, all right, I'll just go around the stadium. Like, nothing about this makes sense at all. And I remain perplexed by it. My brain is frozen because I'm still haunted by the last segment.
It's going to be a win.
Honestly, yeah. I can't move past it mentally. I'm still there.
You're still there.
I'm still there.
Haunted by a tiny horse.
Pablo never gets the better of me.
Pablo sees. Not only did Pablo seize the ability to get the better of you, he really didn't mind shaming you in front of everybody in a way that wasn't very considerate of your feelings.
I feel like... No, I want to talk about this. Let's talk this through.
Wait, now feelings come into play?
Yeah.
Now feelings?
Honestly...
The king of bleeping empathy.
The way I felt collecting that L from Pablo there during Do You Question when I didn't... I mispronounced the word fall. I suspect that is how the Chiefs felt, losing to the Raiders last week. And then afterwards, Travis Kelce said, well, that was their Super Bowl. That's how I feel. That was Pablo's Super Bowl. What you saw in that last segment of television where he taunted me, that was his Super Bowl. And much like the Chiefs are going to come in and demolish the Raiders on Sunday night, I am going to get you.
That escalated.
Mina's voice is getting, Dan, do you hear that? It's getting a little hoarse.
Wow, Pablo is collecting victories right and left. These are big upsets here. Please don't take off your clothes. That why don't?
What is he? Is he no? That. Is he doing the thing?
What
again?
Is he doing? I don't know what he's doing. It's disturbing. What is he doing?
Getting what, in a bed? Is he just done?
Celebrating his victory.
I'm taking a nap. I'm done.
All right, we're done here. The Pablo Torre podcast, ESPN Daily. He defeated her, and now he's going to sleep to rest in his victory. Mina Kimes show featuring Lenny. We will talk to you on Monday. Have a good weekend.